Verse 20, or verse 21, chapter 12. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have heard in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged and the vision fallen? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain visions nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel, the vision that he seeth is for many days. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are afar off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. The idea and the warnings that we're going to see in all of these middle chapters of Ezekiel are this condemnation for anyone that says the thing is going to come in the future, whatever the thing is. It's so vital that you see that even at the time of Ezekiel saw the end. He saw the cross. He saw everything. And he said, saying, this is the end. There is no more after this. So, that's what it, in the New Testament it says, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. The seeing of his day is the end. And that's all that God is waiting for you to see. It's all he was waiting for to see since Abel. That man would see that the end. There is no more thing prolonged. There's nothing more other than today. Everything is done today. And as long as your heart or your mind is set on something other than that perfection, then you can look forward only to destruction. Everybody understand me? Now, this has always been true. All of the law, all of the Torah was fulfilled. Because of the rebellion of Israel came the prophets. And the prophets came saying, there may be, if you're going to continue to go this direction, then what's going to happen to you is only woe and heartache and mourning. The day has always been there. It's always been the day of the Lord. He's always waited for us to see it. There is no dispensationalism. Can you understand that?
We're talking about the true end. Because there's this end, which it is finished and the same and complete. What is the other end like when it rolls up as a scroll, when the earth is no more, when the physical thing ends? Because that's where I think the confusion
is. What do you mean, what is that? That is...
I'm thinking the cross is the end.
And that is that end, too. The difference between the time of you seeing it and the time of it rolling up is the mystical 42 months. That's what the long suffering of the Lord is. That's why we account the long suffering of the Lord as salvation. It's the illusion that you have some time that causes all, that is the basis of rebellion. Do you understand that? We're not talking about some childish rebellion. We're talking about the core rebellion. Not even the space of a heartbeat, it's the same space. You have to hear this word. The word for eternity in Hebrew is olam. Olam is the place, in the technical definition of olam is the vanishing point. It's a place where there is no time. That's why we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in olam. Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. He was crucified in olam, at the vanishing point. Time is only this thing that goes on to test or to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. Time is illusionary. There is no. It isn't. It isn't. It isn't. It's only the place to find out whether you will continue with Him in His test. And His test is already finished. Therefore, for you to see that it's finished, there is no more time. There is no thing that's going to take place in the future. There's no thing to hope for. There's no thing to worry about. There's only the abandonment of yourself. Not to do anything, not to accomplish some end. Is everybody here? Jerry?
Yeah, I thought that was a great question.
Nothing in time that's any more important than anything else in time. It's all there to see whether you will continue with him in his test or whether or not you're going to be deceived into thinking you want something. Remember? Paul, this is the shock of Paul when he said, I didn't know that I was confronted with this thing, thou shalt not lust, and all of a sudden, how can I not lust? How can I not want things to be different? How can I not want things to be people to be different than they are? How can I not want more than I have at this moment? And then he had this battle. That's what Romans 7 is all about. And he finally said, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And he didn't say anybody's going to deliver the body. He says, all of a sudden he exploded in revelation and says, I thank God in Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. You're being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. As long as you're walking in this idea of believing that something yet is necessary, some time is necessary to accomplish something, then you're walking from God's perspective in rebellion. It doesn't matter what you do in that rebellion. I mean, there isn't any degree of rebellion. I don't know if you understand. Anybody, do you understand what I'm saying?
I know you hate modern references, but there was a film a couple years ago called The Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino. Was it Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves? Where at the end of the film, you realize the entire film was taking place in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just described a lifetime.
I know.
Why didn't you? You did it.
I want you to see that the deception is so total, but the glory of Christ is so simple. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity which is in Christ. The simplicity is you are perfect in him right now. You need nothing in him right now. Everything is over in him right now. I promise you, if you can see this, then the way you look at the world is totally different, because now you're looking from the top down instead of the bottom up. You have confessed. Confess means homologia, speaking or seeing the same things. What you hear is what you see. This is why the deception is it's so saddens me. I mean, it's like, how can not everybody see what I see? I don't understand how you can get so deceived. Man. This is the thing that I saw the moment that I became a believer. This is why. You know, I tried for years to find a church. I'd go to church and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I'd go to church all the time trying to find a church. I didn't know anything except that I knew that I knew that I knew. I would go into the building and I'd go into Sunday school or wherever I went into, and the moment they started to tell me how God was going to give me something or how I was going to get something, I began to feel nauseous. And it wasn't, I couldn't control it. For 30 years now, I've seen and I've said the same thing over and over and over and over in a thousand ways. A million ways, probably.
Spirit is said one breath at a time, each moment is a new moment, and we breathe. But time
plate. Your thoughts are the food. This is the only way, I promise you, that you will ever understand or come to grips with the book of Revelation. Just to understand what I just told you this morning. And to understand that it's always been true. It was true from before time. It was true at the time of Abel. It was true with Moses. It was true with, you know, Noah. It was it's all the same thing. It's always the same point. It's always this mystery of the fulfillment of Christ. More could he have done? Do you think anything should be different than it is? Do you think anyone else should be different than they are? And you said the sacrifice isn't enough. Just think what that means. Oh, I told you, maybe it was enough back then for the Roman centurion, but it's not enough for me. Blasphemy in that statement. I want more than I have. I want something to be different. I want someone to be different than they are. I want me to be different. Just saying to the Father, it's not enough. The sacrifice of your Son wasn't sufficient for me. This has to permeate your being. Otherwise you will walk in deception. Because you are the Antichrist. And without the cross, there is no hope. Thus saith the Lord, verse 28, Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done. And in Hebrew, it shall be done now. And word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, it's easy to watch the idiots, to watch them prophesy out of their own hearts. We see, you know, Benny Hinn saying that the homosexuals will be destroyed by fire in 1993, or whatever he said. And then, you know, Pat Robert, I mean, they're all full of horseshit. But they're there so you can stop saying the same thing, so you can stop putting your hope in something in the future. They're there, they happen so you can see Christ now. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israelite prophets are like the foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither have made the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Remember what we've talked about, what you do in your head. when you see a weakness or see a need in you, you instead of digging and finding out and seeing all of those the horrible things in your head, you blame somebody else. You get a plan. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. And lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it, to wit the prophets of the land of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. There's a lot more in this Ezekiel arena. I beg of you to see it. Don't be deceived any longer. Any response?
While they see that they're in the midst of being destroyed, that's when they see that, you know,
that's when
he
you
is
see.
The Lord. You have to be consumed in the midst of it completely. And then the realization is there.
The daubing of the wall is the same provision as for many dead men.
Yeah.
Not the dead.
Well, all these guys up there do, that's their job. They're, in one sense, there's 70 guys up here, and then there's 25 over here, and all these idiots running around up here. Their fundamental job is to keep anybody from seeing that hole in the wall.
The man of sin will not be able to go to death.
Right. Son of perdition, the man of sin, must be revealed now, today. Mm-hmm. And it's you. So once you look at life from that from the perspective of out of time, where the scriptures are written, then nothing can deceive you. You will not follow anyone else's voice, because that nothing else, you know, as we said, it's woe and mourning and lamentation, and that roll, that's what it is. Running around, the roll is flying in the air, and then you eat the roll, and all of a sudden you're eating woe, lamentations, and mourning, and it is sweet as honey to your belly, because it is the sustenance of him for you. Man shall not live by bread alone. Crazy. It just gets boring. I mean,
to be unfallen.
Huh?
The promise that you can be unfallen.
Yeah. Kevin?
The false prophets didn't know that they were false prophets.
No, of course not. Mm-hmm. So I said, nobody's ever worshipped a false god. Nobody's ever worshipped an idol. False prophet, there's nobody that ever had it on it, his name tag, false prophet. They all think they're right. But as long, from this standpoint, and from my own experience, as long as they say the days are prolonged, there's something left to happen, then you know that every word that proceeds from their mouth is a deception. Because they're speaking from the father of lies. Give you a headache? for tomorrow. Take no thought for the day. He will take thought for you. He cannot occupy where you are because of his great humility. And you're there whether you're worrying about something or whether you've filled up and puffed up with what the world thinks vanity is. Both of them are taking a stand. Both of them are leaving no room in the end. Just right now in your mind, just cut all the anchors, cut all of the strings that are holding you down, that are connecting you to this thing, the weight, the debt, cut it off. All righty, take it big, guy.